This is All Things Considered on New Hampshire Public Radio. I'm Peter Biello. It has been a busy week in Washington, D.C. Lawmakers have heard from some of President-elect Donald Trump's nominees for his cabinet, and they've also taken steps to dismantle the Affordable Care Act. As a member of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee and the Armed Services Committee, New Hampshire Senator Jean Shaheen had the opportunity to question two of Trump's nominees, Rex Tillerson for Secretary of State and James Mattis for Secretary of Defense. And she joins me now to talk about those hearings and other news of the week. Welcome, Senator.
Thank you. Nice to be with you.
Let's start by talking about former ExxonMobil CEO Rex Tillerson. You spoke with him last week, and then this week you had an opportunity to question him at his confirmation hearings. What concerns did you have about him before those hearings, if any, and did he ease those concerns at the hearing?
Well, I was concerned about his ability to go from spending an entire career that ended since 2006 as the CEO of the biggest oil company in the world to going to a public service position as Secretary of State, because while there are some similarities in terms of management, there are very big differences in terms of what the bottom line is. And, you know, I was encouraged yesterday by Mr. Tillerson's committing to continuing State Department programs to empower women. He talked about his time at Exxon and working what he had seen in terms of what economic development support can do to empower women. And we know that when we do that, that they tend to give back to their families and their communities in ways that are significant. So I was pleased to hear him say that. I found his responses on Russia, on human rights violations around the world, much more troubling. He seemed unwilling to agree that we need to look at increased sanctions or some kind of response to address Russia's efforts to disrupt our election. He was unwilling, under questioning by Senator Rubio of Florida, to condemn Russia's actions, Russia's bombing in Syria, and other actions that they've taken that I believe, you know, atrocities that have outraged the international community. He was unwilling to condemn the actions of the president of the Philippines, the extrajudicial killing. So I think some of those responses raised real questions about what the position he would take as Secretary of State and the new administration would take on human rights around the world.
Do you think he should be confirmed as Secretary of State?
Well, I'm still evaluating that. We have some questions that we've put to him in writing. We're allowed to do that, and I'm waiting for those answers, and I'm going to go back and reevaluate his answers on a number of issues. I asked him about the potential to work with moderate Muslim countries around the world and helping us fight ISIS, and he agreed that that was an opportunity and we should do that. He agreed that it doesn't make sense to ban a whole religion like Muslims, as we've heard President-elect Trump make statements about that during his campaign. But he was unwilling to say that he didn't think we should also ban a Muslim registry, an effort to make all Muslims in this country register with the federal government. So I think there are real questions about his positions, and I want to get some more answers.
And I'll ask the same question of you about Secretary of Defense nominee James Mattis. What concerns did you have about him going into the hearings, and how did you feel about him afterward?
I think the big concern about General Mattis had less to do with his qualifications and his commitment on issues that I think are important to this country, and more about whether we should give a waiver of the law that prohibits people who leave the military from coming back into civilian service in less than 7 years. I did vote for that waiver yesterday because I was convinced after talking to him, after listening to him at the hearing, that he, as well as anybody, understands the importance of civilian control of our military. And I was also reassured by a number of responses that he gave on the threat that Russia poses to NATO, to the Euro-Atlantic community, the threat that they pose to Eastern Europe, his commitment to our partnerships, our alliances like NATO. We had a very good exchange around the National Guard, because one of the challenges, as we have this one force that includes active duty military, guard, and reserves, is that people get the training and equipment they need to be able to deploy when we ask them to do that. And that's been an issue for our National Guard, and he agreed with that and indicated that he would be committed to trying to address that.
Mm-hmm. So would you approve of his confirmation?
Yes, I do support General Mattis.
Okay. In other news this week, the Senate took a major step forward in clearing the path to repeal Obamacare. The vote on that initiative was on party lines. Democrats were not in favor of any step forward in repealing Obamacare. You've called the effort to repeal without a replacement reckless, and you've called for a bipartisan effort to improve the law. What, in your view, should that effort look like?
First of all, I think it is irresponsible to repeal the law without any kind of replacement because it throws the whole healthcare market into disarray. I mean, what happens to the 600,000 people plus people in New Hampshire who have a pre-existing condition who don't know if they're going to get thrown off of their healthcare and whether they'll be able to get health insurance from another company if they've had that previous illness? What happens to the 26-year-olds who are no longer going to be able to get health care on their parents' insurance? What happens to all of those people in New Hampshire who are able, because of the Affordable Care Act, because of the expansion of Medicaid here, the New Hampshire Health Protection Plan, to now get treatment for their substance use disorder? And we know that that's a huge issue in New Hampshire with the heroin and opioid epidemic. All of those questions are unanswered. We have not been given a plan for what would replace it. We have not been told what the commitments are. We've heard a lot of comments from the president-elect, from the Republican leadership in Congress about what's wrong with the Affordable Care Act, but what we haven't heard is what they're going to replace it with. Now, I think we can work together to make changes to the law. I've done that. I worked with Tim Scott, Republican from South Carolina, to pass the only piece of legislation that has been bipartisan piece of legislation that affects the Affordable Care Act since we passed the law that would allow states to determine what the group size is for the insurance requirements under the Affordable Care Act. So I know it can be done, and I think the better answer to repeal is let's work together. Let's see how we can improve the law.
Also this week, Senator Shaheen, you were one of 10 senators working on legislation to punish Russia over interference in U.S. elections. That bipartisan bill would impose mandatory visa bans and freeze the financial assets of anyone who carries out cyber attacks against computer systems. How optimistic are you that such a bill would get anywhere given Republican control of Congress?
Well, the good thing about the legislation is that it has an equal number of Republican co-sponsors as Democrats. So Senator McCain, Senator Graham, and three other Republicans have co-sponsored along with five Democrats, and I think the list is growing. Russia's outrageous interference in our elections is something that is a bipartisan issue. We should all be concerned about that. We cannot have a hostile country, which Russia is. Russia's been very open about their interest in undermining Western democracies. They have attacked Ukraine. They have attacked Georgia, countries that were moving towards democratic institutions. And they clearly have as a strategy to try and undermine elections. They did that in the United States. They plan, they're working in Germany to do that. We have seen those news reports. And we can't allow that to go unanswered. And that's what this sanctions legislation is about. It's to take aggressive action to let them know that they can't get away with it.
Last question, Senator Shaheen. Inauguration Day is just a week away. What are your plans for Inauguration Day?
I do plan to attend the inauguration. I think as a senator, that's my responsibility. And I will be there next Friday with other members of Congress and other senators to listen to see the new president be sworn in and to listen to his opening address to the nation.
Senator Shaheen, thank you very much for speaking with me.
Nice to be with you, Peter.